promised. With me at the cafe at Artichoke Music is Jennifer Carrizo, senior talent buyer for the Crystal Ballroom, the Mission Theater, and the Spanish Ballroom in Tacoma, all part of McMenamin's wonderfully funky empire. It's hard to believe that we haven't had many from the venue management side of DBZNS, but here we are. What does a talent buyer do, senior or not? I'll tell you this, the reason you can go out and hear music is because the talent buyer has made a deal which brought that band to you. Let's meet Jennifer Carrizo. Well, the orange flashing light is off, meaning we're recording. Welcome to Artichoke Music.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I love having people on that I've never met before. I mean, if you did, this is our 12th year doing the podcast, so, you know, and it's comfortable to sit and talk to somebody you've never talked to, but that you know. But yes. it's in some ways, it's even more interesting to talk to somebody you don't know.
Yeah.
And in this case, the question, my big question is, what the hell is going on at the Mission Theater?
The Mission.
First of all, let's before we get that, that's what I want to know. Because, I mean, I love the Mission Theater. I've seen every kind of thing possible at the Mission Theater. Everything they've ever had, you know, from Miss Kitty to movies to everything else. They used to show the Blazers games there. Anyway, so your title is Senior...
Talent Buyer.
Okay. That doesn't mean you're a senior citizen, because
no.
You're not. Okay. What is a senior? What is a we know it. Senior is your rank,
right?
Which is terrific. Thank you very much. Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what is a talent buyer?
Talent buyer. I am basically a booker. I am the music booker for the Crystal Ballroom, the Mission Theater, and we have a venue in Tacoma as well, the Spanish Ballroom. So.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm in charge of filling that calendar with music.
Well, how do you work with the other people who book for McMenamin's?
So,
is there a budget thing?
Well, we have different properties.
Yeah.
So my other counterparts, they're in charge of their own properties, so we don't overlap unless I'm introducing them to an agent or vice versa, or a band. And but we all sort of have our own areas that we
do you compete
on. I don't see it as competing. I
Good.
See it as working together.
That's nice.
We work together. We're a team, and that's what's important to me.
So if somebody comes to you and thinks their band is perfect for the Mission Theater, you can also say,
I think that you might be perfect for the White Eagle, and you should go, play there.
Yeah.
And then we can move you to the Mission, which is a bigger room.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends if it's a younger band or smaller band, or, you know, they do 50 tickets in town, I would prefer them to play the White Eagle.
Yeah.
And once they start selling that out, let's put you at the Mission.
And they get the added bonus of having ghosts.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Rent a room and see, you know, set up some cameras.
I've never met anybody who ran into any ghosts there, but I wish I did.
I was there.
I would
once.
Love to run into a ghost there.
I would too. I keep saying that I'm going to stay there one of these nights, but I think I'm a little too scared. But I've been there before with and have kind of overlooked someone's shoulder, and she had set up a camera or a phone camera in her room. And their door kept opening and closing. And so they kept going up and down and switching out the phones. And it was really fun to watch these two gals just kind of ghost hunt in there.
But no ghosts at the Mission.
No ghosts at the Mission.
Okay.
I am there alone, you know, often. And I walk around in the dark and... Nope, nothing.
No,
nothing.
No. So, how long have you been in Portland?
I've been in Portland for 12 years now.
Oh, so at some point they'll start treating you like a native. No.
I don't think so.
I've been here since 1997. And I'm still waiting.
Yeah, no. And I'm quite the city girl. I come from L.A., so it's pretty obvious, too.
Well, I come from Baltimore, which is a toilet. So moving to Portland was like paradise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can say the same thing about L.A.
But I lived in L.A.
You know, I miss it now, but there was a time when I couldn't wait to get out, so...
Did you? Well, I disliked L.A. so much that I moved back to Baltimore. How about that?
Oh, my God.
But did you learn the business in L.A.?
Yes. I started as young as 18, 19 in college.
Wow.
Working college radio.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman year of college right away. Got my foot in the door with the radio station.
Mm-hmm. Doing what?
I was.
You just, did a shift?
I did a shift. I started 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Like, you know, all freshmen. And then worked my way up to the drive
time. I loved that shift.
Yeah, it was great.
I worked for a national radio talk show network. And I had that shift.
Did you?
Well, it was, I mean, on the East Coast. Of course, on the West Coast, it was still, you know.
It was great. I mean, it's, you know, it's quiet. And then you get those people that call in all the time. And
Play Misty for me. Remember?
And I've worked my way up. But during that time.
Yeah, good radio voice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was back in the day. It was a lot.
Did you have a nickname?
I was just Jen.
Jen, oh, yeah.
Just plain Jen is
Jen.
What they called me.
Oh,
But
they didn't call you just plain Jen. They called you Jen.
No, it was just plain Jen.
Seriously?
Yes.
That's great.
I don't know. They couldn't come up with anything else.
That's funny.
I don't know. Just plain Jen.
What kind of music were you playing?
I played, it was the 90s indie rock college radio time, the start of the emo craze, so a lot of the emo and hardcore, but I also had, a lot of the shoegaze, Ride, who's coming to the Mission.
All right. That was a
Elliot
pretty,
Smith.
Yes,
you know.
I was going to say that was a pretty good time for Portland music.
Yes, a lot of Portland music.
Yeah.
And Pacific Northwest, the Riot Girl thing. So, your typical
Sleater-Kinney.
College, exactly.
Yeah.
Typical college radio music from the late 90s.
Uh huh.
So, but I started interning at Capitol Records while I was there.
Was Cheryl Pavelski there then?
I don't remember that name.
She runs Omnivore.
Oh, okay.
She lives in Portland now.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the people from Omnivore still live in L.A., but she moved to Portland because her wife is now the president of Reed College.
Oh, wow.
She's fabulous. I've had her on this podcast several times.
All we do is
geek out about old records. It's really funny.
That's cool.
She's won a Grammy 3 out of the last 4 years. Anyway. If you ever get a chance to meet Cheryl Pavelski, take advantage of it. She's wonderful. Anyway, so, continue.
Yeah, okay. So I started interning at Capitol Records.
Doing what?
I worked in what we called the retail den. It was just this little room full of interns, and we would call call record stores and just have them tell us how many records they had for, you know, whatever artist. At the time, I think OK Computer was one of the records that I worked on. Mm-hmm. And so we would call the record stores across the nation, you know, figure out how many each store had, if they needed more promo materials and whatnot.
I don't think people know that exists.
Yeah.
Does it still exist?
I don't know if it still does.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in the, I think everything's automated now, you know, everything's on email. But back in the day, it was a phone call.
Wow.
And
that's a great way to meet people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in the business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I've made some great friends. Our retail den leader mm-hmm. now works at Sub Pop. So, it was a great start, and I absolutely loved my time there. I even got my first official job, uh-huh. which I was fired from. My first job and only job I've ever been fired from.
Everybody gets fired.
At some point, right?
Yes.
But I was working for Glenn Ballard,
mm-hmm.
Who produced Alanis Morissette mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. many other artists. He had started a small record label himself uh-huh. called Java Records.
Uh-huh.
J-A-V-A.
Yeah.
And it was right, it was in the Capitol building. He was leasing uh-huh. Some office space there. So I was a receptionist.
Huh.
But I am not very good with the customer service.
Not like the office, huh?
No. Not so good. So that only lasted a few months. But, you know, moved around from there.
Did you express your feelings? Was that the problem?
I may have or may have not been friendly enough.
Oh.
I think that was the situation. Not friendly enough when I picked up the phone.
Oh, boy.
Which is fine.
Yes.
You know, it allowed me to move on. Mm-hmm. And I picked up a job at an internet startup company. And after about 6 months, they started a music side.
Ah.
And I moved over to the music side
uh-huh.
and met some really incredible people and started working for them for years. John Silva.
Yeah.
It was John Silva and Gary Gersh at the time. And it was Den Music turned into Gas Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
Also, we started working with Grand Royal Records, mm-hmm. the Beastie Boys,
yeah.
And it all just kind of kicked off from
that
there.
That kind of opened the key for you, opened the door for you?
Basically, yes.
Yeah. I mean, was there some time where you felt, I must be a pro now?
You know, never.
Come on.
I think I've always had imposter syndrome. Like, I don't know if I belong here. I don't know if I'm good enough, but it's...
Well, if Mike Walker says you belong here, you must belong here.
I know. Maybe.
Mike Walker. He's the reason you're here.
He is the reason I'm here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's great. We're so thankful to Mike Walker, believe me.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd be doing without his guidance many times.
Yeah. Is he still playing?
He is still playing.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
Mexican gunfight.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what pointed you to Portland?
So I had a child, and uh-huh. I decided that L.A. wasn't the right place
uh-huh.
for us anymore. And so we moved to Portland, which was a city.
Something I had completely different.
Completely different, but I knew Portland.
Uh-huh.
My uncle had lived here,
uh-huh.
so I would come visit often. I have a cousin that still lives here.
Uh-huh.
So late 90s, early 2000s, I would come and visit, and I just fell in love with this place.
Yes, yeah.
I knew that someday I'd live here, and in 2011, the end of 2011, we uh-huh. made the move.
Wow. Did you already have a gig with McMenamins then?
No, not yet.
Oh.
Not yet.
Oh.
Through the job that I had last, I was working for Silva Artist Management.
Mm-hmm.
And I had met Trevor Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
He's, longtime booker in Portland. Mm-hmm. And he was doing Music Fest Northwest at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember that.
I had connected with him before I moved up here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, when you get settled, come meet with me. And so we went and had coffee with him. And he then introduced me to my now boss.
Uh-huh.
And I interviewed with Jimmy. And
yeah.
got the job at McMinn.
Wow.
Getting tongue-tied. McMinniman's.
Yeah.
So I owe it to Trevor.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, I that festival was terrific. That was, I think, the last one was around 1998. Music, yeah. Music Fest Northwest. There's a great story. There was a great Latin funk band called Rubberneck. Some of those guys are still around. The two brothers, and Sabroso, they call themselves now. And they were a great funk band. And Brian Foxworth was in that band, and all kinds of great people. And what they did was they weren't in the festival, but they rented out the Crystal during the festival for a gig. So it looked like they were part of the festival, but they got to keep everything.
Oh my God, how fun. That's awesome.
That's great Portland yeah. music lore.
Right. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty much my story.
Wow. Huh. So what's the first thing you did for McMinniman's?
I was hired as a talent buyer for
really?
The Crystal.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh.
So that's all I've
what
been doing.
What did you think the first time you walked into that place?
I fell in love with the venue.
Yes.
I fell in love with the
Everybody
venue.
Everybody does.
It was my first time walking in there before I got my job.
Uh-huh.
I went to go see X.
Oh, I remember them from the East Coast.
Yeah, well,
yeah, John,
LA band, so
right.
I had to go see them.
Well,
you know.
Zine had a lot of friends who had mutual friends with her in the East Coast, yeah.
Yes, they did. Yeah. I had to see them, you know, I was missing home, and and I walked in, and I just thought, oh, this is such an incredible venue.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I knew.
And it bounces.
Yeah. And it bounces. that first time, I was like looking around going, is this
no,
supposed
it's not,
to
it's
happen?
An, yeah, this is not the big one.
Yeah. but yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was special.
Yeah.
So I.
It is special.
That show's always going to be.
And so's the Mission.
Oh,
I mean,
great.
I you know, the history of the Mission Theater is interesting. It was really interesting with all the different things it's been.
Yeah. So a Swedish...
Union Hall.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah.
So it's a beautiful building, and I'm so glad we're doing shows in there again.
Okay. How did this change? What is the change, and how did the change come about?
Right. So It's one of those rooms. It's had a hard time kind of finding its place.
Exactly.
When I first started working with McMinniman's as, you know, music booker, I was able to put events in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was taken away from me, and it was movie theater only.
Yeah.
And then, it just kind of went back and forth because we couldn't really figure out what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic, obviously everything shut down.
Yep.
We started slowly opening everything up. Mission was the one room that we hadn't opened up yet.
Mm-hmm.
We had a meeting about it, and I said, this is what I would love to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have so many artists that are constantly asking about the room.
Uh-huh.
It's a great 300 cap theater.
Yeah.
We discussed it and decided that we were going to bring it back as a concert venue.
Mm.
And, got rid of the seats, put in a dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
Built out the stage,
uh-huh.
and put in a new PA and some lighting, and we're rocking in there now.
Yeah, really,
I love it.
Really. So, what's the booking? What's the music philosophy? Or is there one?
There isn't exactly a music philosophy. I want to be able to do. All kinds of music.
Yeah.
What I tell people though is that if you're not comfortable with your 14-year-old going to see a show there by themselves, then it's probably not something I want to book.
Ah.
So the idea is, you know, we're doing all ages shows.
All ages shows?
They're not all ages. All right. But I'm doing a lot of all ages shows.
That's great.
And I want to make sure, you know, it's a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
We do, you know, 21 and over events, obviously, as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But the idea is to be a safe environment for music and going and really enjoying the space. And I hear a lot from the younger community how mm-hmm. much they appreciate it. And
sure.
That
well, there hasn't been an all ages place forever.
No.
Years ago there was, but
right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's for me personally. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to have an all ages space.
Oh, sure.
I've been going to shows since I was a kid, and mm-hmm. I was just focused on music and live music. That's all I've ever wanted to work in.
Huh.
Is just music. And so I want to be able to create that environment uh-huh. for other kids. And my 13-year-old now is slowly getting into music himself.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to have an environment where he is safe and can bring his friends and go see music.
Has he been to any shows at the Mission?
No, he doesn't care for anything I do right now. No, he doesn't.
What does he listen to?
He is Mr. Hip-Hop. He loves uh-huh. his Kendrick Lamar uh-huh. and, you know, uh-huh. Tyler, the Creator. That's
yeah, yeah.
that's the world he's in right now, which is amazing and great, and
yeah,
I love
yeah.
it for him.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of stuff that he's into right now.
Yeah, there's not not too many seats, not enough seating
yeah.
for any of those people.
No, those are far too big for him, you know, or for our room. So
yeah, yeah.
If they ever come through town, though, hopefully they'll play the Crystal so I can come in there.
yeah. Is George Clinton still going to play the Crystal this year?
So we do have Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
And I've been told that he is planning on being there. So we'll see.
I know, there's always, like, he's like Cher. You know, there's like multiple last tours.
Yes. Every tour is the last tour. And I told his agent when I was confirming the event, I'm like, he's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and
yeah.
going.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
What was that, what was it called? Periscope was an app. It was a visual app.
Oh yeah.
And you could just show it. But I used to, you know, go there for, but this was about 6 years ago, and George Clinton was on it all the time, and he would be there fishing, you know.
Right.
here's George Clinton fishing. Okay, great.
Right.
It was fabulous.
Oh, I love that.
But Farnell Newton has played with Bootsy for a while. And I remember that you were probably there when Clinton played the Crystal, and Farnell's band opened for them.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what Farnell called that band, but anyway. And they had the nerve to play Maggot Brain.
I remember that.
But they did ask Eddie Hazel if it was okay.
Okay.
And he said it was okay.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I was sitting next to a relative of Tyrone Hendrix, the drummer, who was related to Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, my gosh.
And because there weren't any seats, and I'm old, right? And she's old, right? So we just sat there together through the whole thing, and that was fun.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. Did talk about the Crystal story we have on Jimi Hendrix?
No, I don't know anything about that.
So I think I always butcher stories. So
that's
hopefully
okay.
I get this one right. Little Richard
Whew.
Played the Crystal.
Oh, right. Jimi Hendrix
was in his band.
Yes, yes.
And I think story has it that he started playing a solo or going off on his guitar,
yeah.
and Little Richard did not like it and uh-huh. kicked him off stage.
Well, anything that detracts from Little Richard,
right,
you know, because
right.
he was the king. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Until Jimmy came along, but still, you know.
Yeah.
There's so many Little Richard stories, and you never know if they're true. David Vest, a great boogie woogie piano player, once told me the story about after Little Richard has had his horrible car accident and was in a coma for months and months, that Bob Dylan would go to Little Richard's room and just sit with him.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's true. Okay. I'd like it to. There's so
I'd
many
like
things,
it to be true.
There's so many things I would like to be true that sound totally bogus. But I would like, well, okay, I can believe that.
Yeah, I'd like that to be true as well.
Right. So we're not talking about thematic booking. We're talking about more.
We're just, you know, we're doing events. Yeah. It's not just a concert venue, it's an event venue, right? So we're doing everything from comedy, burlesque shows.
Those are always good.
Those are always great. Yeah. The Ms. Kitty type shows.
I love her.
and concerts. Yeah. And it's been thriving.
Were you there for the John Callahan Memorial?
I was not there.
I did that show.
Oh,
I mean, I curated that show with a friend of mine.
Yeah, no, yeah. I didn't get to make it in for that.
Yeah, that's too bad. That was an interesting night. Now we had all these video tributes like Gus Van Sant and people like that. You know,
oh, lovely.
He had not made the movie yet about Callahan.
Oh,
yeah. Don't start me on Callahan. He died in the basement of my apartment building.
Oh my gosh.
And he inhabited my cat. Anyway, it's a long story.
Oh.
People talk about not wanting to believe and not believing and not and wanting to believe. Anyway, so, are you having fun?
I'm having so much fun with the mission.
Yeah,
I love it.
I can
it.
Tell. I mean, I mean, I've never met you or anything, but I can tell just from the bookings.
Yeah.
That it must be fun to have that room and
it
to do
really
anything you
is.
Want with it.
It really is.
So what is your sense of the business here in Portland?
My sense of the business. Ugh.
Well, you know, I mean,
I think Portland was one of those cities that just got skipped over.
Right.
All the time.
Yes.
Right. No one had time for Portland, or it wasn't big enough, or and you know, that's changing. I had a beautiful artist last night at the Mission who has been to the West Coast a few times but has never played Portland.
Wow.
Last night was her first time. So she's playing, you know, Showbox in Seattle.
Right.
But the Mission in Portland, I think she definitely could have done bigger.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We are definitely leaving a mark.
That's good.
I think.
That's good.
So,
yeah, you know, it just seems like, well, you know, Portland has a problem with confidence.
Yeah.
You know, it's just true. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nothing new to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Baltimore and we had Washington.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which was always, you know, and luckily it was and it wasn't quite far enough between Baltimore and Washington, you know, between Washington and Philly, yeah. So as a result, the music scene in Baltimore sucked.
Right.
Really, and still does. But anyway. The difference here, I think, has always been the homegrown talent has been just tremendous.
It's so strong. We have so many amazing artists from here. And
how do they fit in with what you're doing? Do you have bands that open?
I do have bands that open, but that's few and far between these days.
Why is that?
And that's because all these tours that are coming through, especially at the Crystal, they're all package tours.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard. You know, I'm constantly asking, like, hey, can we throw this local on?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's no interest, the budget's not there, what it is, but it's getting harder to have local bands open at that level. At the Mission, it's a great spot for me to showcase the talent that we have. Mm-hmm. I have some bands that I've been working with that I absolutely adore, and they're all coming from the School of Rock. You know, they're School of Rock students that are graduating, and they have these bands, and they're all incredible musicians, and they're selling out shows at that level, and it's incredible. I love working with them.
What about female musicians?
Lots of them. Yeah. There's we have so many incredible female musicians in Portland, and I do my best to put them in front of, you know, touring artists and whatnot. It's, I mean, we just have so many musicians, period, that are fantastic. So,
well, geez, it's so nice to see the mission cooking.
It
really is.
It's so fun. I'm so glad. When we decided to open, you know, we had the conversations in 2021, and by 2022, we were, you know, doing shows again. And it's so fun to see it grow. And, it, you know, and I have to say this, it has really helped that the other promoters in town have noticed the mission and have been putting shows at the mission. Monkey is one of our great partners. And they, you know, with renovations and whatnot for the new Doug Fir, they've been putting their shows at the mission, and that's been huge. So we've had back-to-back shows at the mission that have just been great. So
that's wonderful.
I'm really happy to see it just blossom the way it is. It for so many years that room struggled to find its identity, and I think it's finally has found it.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Seems like it. I mean, I've been to so many different kinds of things there.
Yeah.
You know?
There's so many different things, and now we still, you know, do a variety of events, but it's, I think first and foremost, it's a rock and roll venue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's,
Portland's a rock and roll town.
It is a rock and roll town.
I mean, it's a hip hop town too, but but the thing is, it's everything.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things about the Portland music scene. I mean, and the thing is, a lot of people play in six different bands in six different genres. The same people.
Right, right.
You know, like Lisa Mann's in a metal band now.
Oh my gosh, that's, you know, wild,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. She actually wrote a piece for us talking about how she always loved metal. I mean, this is a woman who's won international awards and played all over the world, Lisa Mann. You know, great blues singer and bass player. And she always loved metal. And one day she just said, I'm going to be in a metal band.
I love that.
And so she is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's fabulous. I love her. Plus, she's married to a bass player.
There you go. I'm a bass player.
Are you?
Yeah.
Who's your bass hero?
I have to say, I have two. Kim Gordon. And why am I blanking on her name now? Pixies, Kim Deal.
Oh my gosh.
They are, and I should actually say I have three. Yeah. Simon Gallup from The Cure as well. Those growing up, those are the three bass players that I listened to and really obsessed over.
Wow. Have you ever booked them?
No.
Is it a goal?
Yes, someday. I did get to work with Kim Gordon. I worked with Sonic Youth back in my days in Los Angeles when I was in artist management. So that was pretty incredible. The day that I had to pick her up from her hotel and drive her to my boss's house. Yeah, yeah. And so she was in my car, and I was like, I can't believe this. My hero is in my car right now.
Part professional, part fangirl.
Yes, completely. I did not know what to do with myself.
That's fun. That's great. It's really good to remain a fan.
Yeah.
really
absolutely.
Is. Really
absolutely. Is, I know? Have to, sometimes I have to remind myself that, because, you know, you can just get so bogged down with the work aspect of it all, you know, but I love going to my shows and just watching. What my favorite thing to do is watch the audience.
Uh-huh.
I love watching the audience and how they interact with the artist and the artist interacts with them. Mm-hmm. That's, I love that. It's such a special thing.
Yeah.
And so I love to see that. And then that just kind of, you know, it fills me up with the feels. And
And you know who else loves that is Martin Scorsese.
Oh, yeah.
He'll never shoot. He's made a lot of concert movies, like the Last Waltz and all that. And he'll never shoot a band without the, you know, he'll never shoot the audience without the band being part of the shot.
Oh, interesting.
It's great. It's great.
I'll have to I'll have to focus on that next time I see one of his concert movies.
Well, I spent a lot of time in television.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard that, I went, something just clicked. The light bulb went off. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so true.
It's so important. Yeah. It's such an important aspect of the live concert.
And it's rewarding for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know,
all your work you've put in,
right?
And the audience loves it.
Yes, that's. I mean, it would be awful if the audience hated it. You know, so it does feel good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. Wow, geez. Hey, guess what? The battery's held up.
Yay!
Well, listen, thanks for coming in and
thanks
spending
for having
some
me.
Time. It's been really nice to meet you.
It was really great to meet you.
And best of luck with everything McMiniman.
Thank you.
Say hi to Mike Walker. Our benefactor and great and, you know, friend to the Oregon Music News. And I tell him for me that I have never given up having him on the podcast.
I'll let him know.
And he'll never do it.
Oh, he's a wily one, that one.
All right. Well, all right, listen, as we like to say at the end of these things, that's entertainment.